This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Feel You and you're listening to Her Vantage. The Sustainable Development Report 2019 indicates that Malaysia still has major challenges in achieving gender equality. Let's take a look back at some of the women working and changing that here in Malaysia in this Her Vantage year-end special. Malaysia is currently ranked 68 out of 162 countries, and when it comes to SDG number 5, which is gender equality, we are making inroads but would not be able to achieve that by 2030. Here are some areas of progress and ways we can move the needle. Let's start with politics. We spoke to Shannon O'Connell, Westminster Foundation for Democracy's leading in-house expert on issues of gender equality, women's political empowerment, political processes, and institutional development.
Gender, I think, in the context of politics, is a word that's misunderstood in terms of its relationship. There is an assumption that gender means women, and that's not the case. What gender mainstreaming is about is understanding how we are organizing power, decision-making, access to resources, who's at the table, who gets status and the power and the authority to negotiate on behalf of different populations in our society. The truth is that the way we have organized many of our societies and the norms we have created about who gets paid for their work, who gets access to these resources, are strongly based around gender. The initial questions that we would get around women's political leadership was, well, will it make things any better? Which in some cases, the answer is it doesn't matter. The fact is they have every right to be at the table. Mm-hmm. So that's one part of the answer. But what we know now is there's been enough time and enough investment in this is that we know that women's political leadership improves the quality of democracy and government and services that citizens experience. Mm. There is a direct link between decision-making that is more gender-balanced and higher quality of services and better outcomes for all citizens, not just women and girls.
Here in Malaysia, women have gained momentum in running for political positions and hold office. Since the new government is in control, it has led to the appointment of Dato' Sri Dr. Wan Azizah Wan Ismail as the first female Deputy Prime Minister. While Malaysia has seen slow progress when it comes to women in politics, gender equality in the workplace, primarily regarding their presence in the boardroom, has shown improvements. Dr. Marcella Lucas, CEO Lead Women, an organization committed to supporting women's career goals, helps to facilitate the placement of capable women into senior leadership and board positions. Here's her explaining how she has been working together with the government since 2012 to increase the number of women on boards.
In 2012, the previous Prime Minister had set a national targets of 30% women in leadership positions. So that included women on boards. And so we, together with MINDA, the Malaysian Institute of Directors at the time, put together a 5-day program, effectively a type of boot camp to get raise awareness and get women ready to sit on boards, specifically publicly listed boards. In those first 2 or 3 years, we trained over 900 women through the Women Director Program. We just received the data from Bursa, Malaysia. We effective Q2 this year. We are now at 26.5% women on the top 100 publicly listed boards. So that's pretty close to the 30% target. And I think we're also shifting that target now because 30% is gives you a voice at the table, but it's not parity. Right. So we're going to be looking beyond that now.
Naturally, the boardroom is not the only part of the workplace that requires improvement in this field. Nicole Tan, Country Director of Facebook Malaysia, shares a view on the importance of diversity in the workplace.
So diversity is very very important to our culture in Facebook. We try to build diverse teams, and we've seen that when we have diverse teams, we're able to solve problems better, we're able to see success, and it shapes the way that we build our products, it shapes the way that we run our teams. So definitely diversity and inclusion is something really important. And we see that even locally in my own teams, and the way that we've built our teams is to really make sure that, you know, we're better allies for each other, and we're also making sure that we have diverse opinions around the room.
It must be made clear that gender equality is not just a women's issue. Men too have an obligation to empower women in the workspace, even more so when a lot of industries are still dominated by men. Natasha Zulkifli, founder of Women in Rail Malaysia, shares her thoughts on women in the rail industry in Malaysia and the support it needs to grow.
We have very kind companies in the rail space that work with us, as well as companies outside the rail space. We can't survive as a not-for-profit without these sorts of collaborations. We are grateful for their generosity and their kind spirit, allowing us to grow as much as we can. We've got almost 500 members now.
Right.
And 10% are actually men. We accept male members because the women in Rail Malaysia can't survive without the support of the men in rail.
Right. And vice versa.
Indeed, yes.
Right. And that's what we want, right? Just equality.
Ultimately, and more inclusivity as well. I too enjoy seeing women work in this space. There are so many female rail engineers that are train drivers as well. And there are women who also work in finance, in HR, in...
legal.
Yes, all sorts. You name it. And there are lots of women here who want to network, who want to upskill themselves, who want to become better professionals. And this is the demographic that we are targeting.
But of course, support isn't relegated to merely the workplace or any male-dominated industry. Datin Azrin Ahmad, founder of Three Little Ahmads, discussed the roles she and her husband play in order for both partners to support each other.
I have a fabulous support structure. I think with my husband, the promise has always been, if I was to go back into work, because I'm a workaholic and I'm a do-or-die person, and he knows that. So he said, let's make a promise to each other that if you go to work and you have to go overseas or outstation, one responsible adult has to be around. So if you go out, I stay.
Okay.
And if I go out, you stay. So we've always coordinated our calendars that way.
Okay.
So I can continue with my job in Kuala Lumpur if he's in Sabah or Sarawak or even in India, wherever. And that's no problem because...
So someone's got to be around.
Someone's just got to be around because we also made a pact that we would not land the kids or fob the kids off on their grandparent.
After this, we'll be continuing the Her Vantage Year and special at how we are progressing or not when it comes to gender equality. You're listening to BFM 89.9.
Backing female ministers. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is Frida Liu, and it's Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. This is our year-end special, where we're highlighting summer 2019's more notable guests and how they've been working towards overcoming the challenges Malaysia has shown in achieving gender equality, in accordance with the findings of the Sustainable Development Report 2019. Moving on to women in the field of sports, we have Sarina Sundararaja, founder of Sarina Rhythmic Gymnastics Club, living proof that it takes more than just physical strength for young women to be empowered in the sports world.
Well, inspired by our vision of empowering youth, so SRGC, through its Princess Cup development program and competition, we are focused to raise awareness about the positive influence of the development of physical activity and sport for women and girls, and aims to increase the participation of women and girls involved in the sport movement across the region. Because for me, it's about giving a girl the opportunity to participate and to dream. When I went to Ipoh, and I realized there were a lot of young children who wanted to pick up the sport, but there wasn't any avenue. And I realized this is where Princess Cup actually comes in. So Princess League is whereby we go from every state, and we will actually have our club there. And we will groom, train the trainers, and hopefully we have like a bigger base of grassroots talent. And then from there, we will have a talent identification program whereby we will segregate the girls into the recreational and the elite level.
While they cover brawn, how about the potential brains of the future? The field of science, technology, engineering and mathematics, or STEM, is recognized by the government as one of the biggest factors in transforming the country into a developed nation by 2020. Helping us to discuss the importance of women in STEM is Ms. Helen McGillivray, President of International Statistics Institute, ISI.
Well, I guess as much as they're changing the landscape of everything. I mean, what is interesting is that, I'm now retired from teaching, but I taught very large classes in science, engineering, IT, pharmacy, medical areas, in business, and there were always a fairly good proportion of women in, for example, mathematics. Now, for engineering, because I taught engineers for many years. In fact, I was actually a honorary engineer for some of my colleagues. And the proportion of women in the engineering areas tended to go up and down depending on what areas were had the most opportunities at the time. But the proportion of women in mathematics, for as long as I can remember, was always over 30%. Now, in statistics, I don't know whether the proportion is more or less, because the interesting aspect of statistics, of course, is that because statistics is in so many different areas and disciplines, people come into statistics from different ways. But how are women changing the landscape? I think it's more part of the increasing awareness of the importance of statistics in every aspect of society.
Samira Emerson, Analytics and Data Science Director at the Center of Applied Data Science, also shares a view on the inclusion of women in the field of analytics.
The company that I work for, the Center of Applied Data Science, it has a very interesting ethos and vision, and that ripples through everything that we do. And that vision is transforming workplace through analytics and data science. That entails running projects and helping companies to build solutions. But this is where we differentiate from other players in the market. We don't just hand over the solution and walk out. We help organizations to upskill and build the necessary skills to run those solutions and maintain them and improve them when time arrives. And data for her is kind of tapping into all those kind of thinkings and initiatives with a more focus on women. This inclusion and gender balance needs to happen at some point. Mm-hmm. And analytics and data science gives a very, very good platform to bring in more women and get them involved. So within data for her, we tap into two separate agenda. You need two things. Number one, you need the skills. There is no way around it. You need to be equipped with the technical skills. And number two is having that support network around you, the kind of mentors that I mentioned who've been in this field, who've done it, and who can help. So with Data for Her, we are trying to create both and not only go at an awareness level. I think Malaysia is a fantastic country for building awareness. There are so many awareness initiatives around, but we try to go and dive into a deeper layer and actually help women, equip them with the knowledge they need, technical and soft skill both, and also put them in touch with other ladies who've made a way in this field.
And finally, it wouldn't be a show about women of influence and leadership without highlighting guests who have championed those values for women and young girls in general. Dr. Mina Chia, Managing Director of The Body Shop, discusses her campaign for the International Day of the Girl.
You know, it's really, the intention is for us to ensure that girls dream big, that they can dream and achieve their dream. And as women, as a woman of influence, I think of my job as empowering and enabling them. It's easy to say, oh, empower them. Wait, what? How? What are the tools that you give someone? You know, you cannot just walk up to a girl and say, I empower you. You know, now go forth and exercise. So as women in positions of influence like yourself, Rita, we can actually give them a voice, we can give them a platform, and we can make sure that there are opportunities for girls and women to move up in to achieve their dreams. If they choose to be wives and mothers, more power to you. Mm. But if you choose to be a corporate woman, stay single all your life, more power to you, right? And that's what we need to do with women. We need to support them. We need to make sure that their options are wide. You can be whatever. You want to be a dog trainer, stay at home, look after your kids. And
so be
go,
it.
So be it. And that is the whole point of the International Day of the Girl, to get them to dream big. And for us, big girls, to enable the environment for little girls to dream big. Our women are my major customers. 85% of my customers are women. If I don't improve the livelihoods, the potential of my customer base, my potential customer base, how am I going to be able to ensure that my business thrives? What we do in terms of empowering women in making sure that the scope for women and the environment for women is as wide as that of men, right. That helps my business in the long run.
Dr. Anjula Singh Bais also shares some light on gender equality in the entertainment sphere as a former model and also her participation as one of the Young Global Leaders 2019.
Even in the entertainment industry, I guess I was always questioning things, what people took for granted, like the sort of abusive nature or choreographers yelling or the pressures or, you know, sort of beauty ideals subscribed by a patriarchy. I was the one who was always questioning, probably much to the disagreement of my agents. At times I was viewed as a difficult model, but it's all led to where I am now. For the first time in my life, I'm playing on an equal playing field. Mm. You know, a lot of times, and I'm sure, you know, as a woman, you've experienced this where you feel like you have to dim your light, you know, because, oh, that's intimidating. You know, whereas if a man has X amount of accomplishments or doing whatever in life, that's great. That's wonderful. You're on the right track. As a woman, ooh, you know, bring it down a notch, you know, like sort of dim
Don't shine too much.
Correct. That's very, you know, and instead of being inspired and our shine, you know, sort of lighting away, ooh, that's burning me. Now it's unbelievable because every contrarian position I've ever taken, going against the grain, the World Economic Forum recognizes that and says it's only the beginning. Mm. So now I have a sort of cohort of people who are the least intimidated by what I do. And literally, it's like you have this inbuilt circle that can't help but cheer you on. And it's like a balm to the soul. You know, a lot of times when people think of trauma, they think of war or soldiers returning from war or a sexual assault survivor, which is, yes, there's probably obviously a lot of PTSD. But what I don't think people think about is the micro-trauma that we all face every day. What is actually trauma being passed down generations is mistaken as culture. Like an arranged marriage or, you know, you must only marry this religion or you must become a doctor, lawyer, engineer or you get shamed for not getting SPM exam. This is our culture. We study hard. We learn. No, it's not. That's dysfunctional.
Right.
That's trauma. And the research shows, it does. It literally shows. I mean, my dissertation was based on, the doctorate research was based in Sri Lanka. And what was outstanding was that Sri Lankans said that more than the war, 26-year civil war, more than the tsunami, that's not what traumatizes them. What traumatizes them is the lack of opportunity.
Wow.
The lack of food, the domestic violence of a husband hitting a wife.
Mm.
The you know, lack of opportunity. That is what gets to them on an everyday basis.
On a personal note, I'd like to thank all the incredible women who have contributed to Her Vantage this year and shown the capability for progress and inclusion Malaysia has. I look forward to meeting even more women of influence and leadership in 2020. But for now, this has been Her Vantage year-end special with me, Frida Liu. Let's aim towards achieving the gender equality goal in 2030. We've got 10 years to change the status. Stay tuned next for Enterprise Biz Bites, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.